This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو ضال أو زل أو زان أو أظلم أو أذنب أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. اللهم بارك وارحم جميع مشايخنا وشيوخنا ومعلمينا ومدرسينا وربينا كلهم أجمعين يا الله. والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I was recently speaking with someone and they were saying how they started talking about love at a lecture or khutbah or something, and it struck people as being really strange. It's like, I thought we were Muslims. It's like, as if love is incompatible with Islam. Like as if love is some sort of fuzzy Christian concept, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, love. But in reality, it shouldn't be strange to us. Love is fundamental, is foundational to our affair. The entrance into paradise has been made conditional on our loving one another. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Lan tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu wa la tu'minu hatta tahabbu." You will not truly believe. You will not enter Jannah, excuse me. You will not enter paradise until you truly believe. "Lan tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu." And you will not truly believe until you love one another. "Wa la tu'minu hatta tahabbu." So, we're not getting into paradise unless we love one another. And sometimes if we look at some aspects or some parts of our community or some parts of our ummah, and we ask ourselves, where's the love? That wasn't just a popular song back in the day. Where's the love? Some of you remember that. I'm not going to do my imitation of Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack. Forget it. Leave that to Tariq Subhani. But we ask, we look at what's going on and we ask, where's the love? Like how could people who love one another do these things to each other? How can people who love, where's the love for your Muslim brother if you can bomb them like they're being bombed in Yemen? Blockade and boycott them. Starve the children. Allow conditions to exist that afflict a nation with over a million cases of cholera and growing. Threaten upwards to 15 million people with starvation. Muslims are doing that. So, but America's providing the bombs. But who's buying the bombs? And who's dropping the bombs? Now, America can't do anything anywhere in this Muslim ummah without the help of some Muslims who lack love and compassion for their fellow Muslims. It's that simple. We have to love one another. We have to love one another in our local communities. We have to love, and not just love one another, because that's a package. The Prophet, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anh, he said to Abu Idris Khulani, when the latter, just the first time he saw Mu'adh ibn Jabal in a masjid, and people are referring to him, and Mu'adh was fairly young, radiallahu anhu. And they were deferring to him, they were referring their questions back to him, and he's like, who is this young person? And they said, it's Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And the next day he came back and he just walked up, and Mu'adh was praying, and he walked up to Mu'adh and he said, I love you. And he said, Wallah, Allah. By Allah? He said, Allah. By Allah. 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 He repeated it again. And then Mu'ad said to him, that I heard the Messenger of Allah say, Wajabat mahabbati lil-mutahabina fiyya, that my love has been made incumbent. And of course, Allah incumbated that upon himself. We can't incumbate anything upon Allah. My love, I have made my love obligatory for those who love each other for my sake. وَالْمُتَزَاوِلِينَ فِيَّا, and those who visit each other for my sake. So it's not just loving each other. That love translates into visitations, and not just a one-way street. Sometimes we love somebody and it's a one-way street. We do all of the reaching out. We do all of the, nowadays I guess, texting. We do, it's one way. We do all of the visiting, oh, and mutazawirina fiya, those who visit each other for my sake. Afahua mutajalisina fiya, those who sit together for my sake, and they visit each other for my sake. Wa mutabadilina fiya, and they expend their money on each other. They spend their time on each other. They exert themselves for each other, meaning they sacrifice for each other, their money, their time, for each other. This is the nature of our ummah. So we shouldn't find this idea strange. We should challenge ourselves to translate that idea into action and into a reality that defines our community. Because this is who we are. The foundation of our community is the union between a man and a woman, the family. That's the foundation of the community. And what is the foundation of that union? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That amongst his signs he's made for you from yourself spouses, in order that you live together with them in peace and tranquility, and he's made between you love and mercy to facilitate that peace and that tranquility, that sakina. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, and he's made between you love and mercy. Surely in this are signs for people reflect. That's the bedrock of the foundation of community. But what's built on that? The community built on that foundation of the family, what holds that together? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَطُوفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُدْوًا تَدَاعَى سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّحَرُ وَحُمَّةِ. That the likeness of the believers, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ, in their mutual love for each other, وَتَرَحُمِهِمْ, and their mutual mercy, وَتَعَطُوفِهِمْ, and the affection between them, is like an individual body. If one part complains of some injury, the entire body responds with fever and sleeplessness. Alhamdulillah, that love is there, but we have to nurture it. And we have to encourage it to grow. And this is what the Majlis is trying to be. It's trying to be a space where that love between, that should exist between the believers, can be nurtured and it can grow and it can reach fruition and not be stifled and stymied and crushed before it even gets a chance to blossom. We want to see beautiful flowers. And that's what's going to change the course of this nation. We find people growing apart and being encouraged to hate each other. This isn't who we are. And a lot of Muslims, not many, but there are some who buy into that philosophy, that you're automatically at enmity. They set up these dichotomies. And if you're on one extreme or the other, you're instantly, automatically, with no consideration of your individual character, who you are, you're categorized into a group, and then there's automatically enmity. And that's from shaitan. That's not from Allah. Shaitan, when you innama yuridu shaitanu an yuqa'a baynakum al-adawata wal-baghda fil khamri wal-maysir. And other things. That's not restricted. Shaitan wants to create hatred and enmity between you with alcohol and with gambling and with whatever else he can use. He has a big toolkit and he's very clever. He has a lot of experience. Don't think you can outsmart Shaitan. And he's sitting around with his dupes, they're laughing. They're like, this guy... Remember in 500 BC, someone tried that same trick. Yeah. Then in 200 AD, the same thing happened. This guy thinks he can outsmart us. He's seen it all. He knows the tricks. He has a big toolkit. And he uses every tool in the kit to get us to hate one another. To get us to break relations with one another. فَيَتَعْلَمُونَ مِنْهُمَا لَا يُفَرَّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. He learned these shayateen, they learned from the two angels, Harut and Marut, at Babel, that which sows dissension and division between the man and his wife, and between brother and brother, and sister and sister. But to go back to the point, so... There's actually a diagram of sorts that's been set up. You draw a line, and then you put lines that cut through that line. And on each line, cutting through the horizontal line, the vertical lines. And on the vertical line, on the top, for example, there's heterosexual. On the bottom, there's homosexual. On the top there's rich, on the bottom there's poor. On the top there's white, on the bottom there's non-white. On the top there's male, on the bottom there's female. On the top there's black, on the bottom there's white, on the bottom there's non-white. So if you're on the top, if you have all of these characteristics, then you're instantly, automatically, irredeemably an oppressor. So if you're a white, rich, heterosexual male, forget it. You're the most oppressive force on earth. And if you're homosexual, non-white, poor, etc., you're oppressed. And because you fit in these categories, there's no consideration that a person might be white, male, heterosexual, rich person who is charitable, who is pious, who is compassionate. It doesn't matter. If you're in that category, you're bad. If you're in this category, you're good. If you're in this category, you're an oppressor. If you're in this category, you're an oppressed. And this dichotomizing of groups is set and firm. This isn't Islam. This is some strange figment of Herbert Marcuse's imagination. Islam says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرُ أُخْرَى. No individual can bear the burden of another. Islam says that everyone will come before Allah as an individual. They won't come before Allah as a member of an oppressing or oppressed group. They will come to Allah as a pious, believing, righteous individual, as a sinful individual, based on their individual responsibilities, their individual acts, their individual intentions. And Islam says there's nothing to prevent people who might be in this category or the other from loving and having compassion for someone in the other. Rather, it's the lower, which are the oppressed, or the upper, which are the oppressors. And this is beautifully illustrated by the first four converts to Islam. If you look at the first four converts to Islam, who did you have? You had a child that was poor, Imam Ali. You had a former slave, Zayd bin Haritha. These are oppressed. You had a wealthy woman who defies the whole paradigm, because as a woman she's oppressed, but as a wealthy person she's an oppressor. And then you have Abu Bakr, who's straight up oppressor because he's male and he's rich. In the eyes of Islam, they're all Muslims, they're all believers, and they all supported the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And collectively, the rich and the poor came together and supported this mission. And love and mercy was established between their hearts, regardless of whether they were black. Zayd bin Harith was black. He was Arab. There were black Arabs, Arab al-Sawda, like the people in Jericho, Ariha in Palestine. It's Palestine. Any Palestinians in here? You've been down there? There are black Palestinians. That's one of the best kept secrets on earth. I mean, black Palestinians. You think like, man, did I get on the wrong flight? And they're brothers and sisters of any other Palestinian. So you have black people, you have rich people like Khadija, you have aristocratic people, bourgeoisie, like Khadija and Abu Bakr, joining together with the slaves and the blacks like Bilal, and the oppressed and the downtrodden, coming together as one ummah, because Allah put love between their hearts. وَجَعَلَ Allah put love between their hearts. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدِّهِمْ. Which Sahaba didn't love Bilal? The Zayd bin Haritha was called the beloved of the Messenger of Allah. حِبُّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet loved that young boy so deeply, and when he refused to go to his own biological parents, his love just became that much deeper. He even adopted him as his son before the practice was forbidden. After he turned down his father and his uncle, he said, I'm staying with Muhammad. No one ever treated me like he treated me. The Prophet ﷺ grabbed him and said, Hadha Zayd bin Muhammad. This is Zayd, the son of Muhammad. That's how much he loved him. And then he married eventually, after Zayd divorced Zainab bint Jahsh. Then he married her, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He married Zayd to another person he loved, who was also someone downtrodden, supposedly, which was Ayman. Ayman was an Ethiopian slave that Khadija freed. Radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. She was from Ethiopia. She was a black woman. And the Prophet ﷺ, he called her Ummi ba'da Ummi. She's my mother after my own biological mother. She was one of the people that nurtured the Prophet in his youth, in his infancy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he married Ayman to Zayd bin Haritha. And they had a son, Usama bin Zayd, who the Prophet loved so much. We know the stories. Anytime they wanted to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something difficult, they send Usama. He never say no to Usama. And Usama was called Hibbu Hibbi Rasulillah, the beloved of the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ummah isn't predicated on people being rich or poor, black or white. It's not predicated on them being from this tribe or that tribe, this nationality, that nationality. That's why you have even this sampling here. We have black folks here, white folks here, people in between. And it doesn't matter. Our hearts are joined together in love and faith. This is what we need at this time, when our country's being pulled apart by these divisions that are being foisted upon people, and the divisions that are being accentuated and not de-emphasized, that are being overly emphasized. And so we need a force that's built on love and mercy to go out and to rescue this country from itself. And people say, oh, things are good. There's a book, Factfulness. Some of you are familiar with that book. That just breaks down how things really, they're not as bad as they seem in some areas. That book focused primarily on development, disease, and standards of living. Yes, those things are going up. We're wealthier than we've ever been, which is not necessarily a good thing, because all that wealth comes from the earth, and we're devastating the earth. So maybe we need to become accustomed to a little more poverty, as opposed to only finding our fulfillment in an increase in material well-being. We need to find our fulfillment in spiritual well-being. And there is no spiritual well-being without love and mercy. So we're trying to create a space where people can be well spiritually, and they can nurture each other and help each other to attain to those levels of wellness so they can go out and affect this world in a positive way. We can't do that if we're sick. We can't do that if we're hurting. A lot of Muslims are hurting. Wives are hurting. And many, many relationships. Husbands are hurting. It's another thing. We neglect the well-being of men. Why? Because in this dichotomy, men are the oppressors. Men are the bad guys. And now you're getting a backlash. You're getting a male power movement, because men are feeling neglected and men are feeling like underprivileged. Can I get a witness? I got a witness over there. Yes, sir. Can we preach for the power of men? And we have a tent revival. We're in a tent. What? Now we need men to be healthy and well and nurtured. We need women to be healthy and well and nurtured. We need children to be healthy and well. Black, white, red, brown, yellow, indiscriminately. It shouldn't matter. And this is how Islam became great. Because when this ummah was strong, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. And the reason it didn't matter and why it shouldn't matter now, because it doesn't matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَارِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look at your physical forms. Allah doesn't care if you're black, white, red, brown, yellow, polka dot, purple. Doesn't matter. Allah doesn't concern himself with that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَارِكُمْ. Tall, short, this kind of eyes, this kind of hair, it's meaningless with Allah. وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah doesn't concern himself whether you're rich or poor. It's meaningless with Allah. And so it should be meaningless with us. وَلَكَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But he looks at your hearts and he looks at your actions. وَعَمَالِكُمْ. He looks at your hearts and he looks at your actions. The hearts are all the same color. I don't care what color your complexion is. They take your heart out, Allah forbid. This is a miraculous event, like when the Prophet's heart was taken out and cleansed. And they take that negativity out of our hearts. That would be great. But it's all the same color. I have some cardiologists in here, I'm sure, could testify, bear witness. You take that heart out, it's the same color, and the actions have no color. That's what matters with Allah. Things that defy any physical differentiation. وَلَكَنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. And those hearts are healthy when they have love in them. Those hearts are healthy when they have mercy in them. Our faith isn't complete without the love of the Messenger of Allah. We just passed Rabi al-Awwal, or it's in the waning days, maybe it's past. The month the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we celebrate his life and we reflect on his life. And one of the things we reflect on is that we need to enhance our love of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because as we said concerning the love, that the faith is not complete without that mutual love. لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَبُّوا. And our faith is not complete without the love of the Messenger of Allah. لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَالَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. You don't truly believe until I'm more beloved to you than your family, your wealth, your children, your parents, and all of humanity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We our faith is not complete without the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah loves us, and one of the things inviting Allah's love, as we mentioned, wajabat mahabbati lil mutajalisina fiyya, wa mutazawirina fiyya, wa mutabadilina fiyya. Those who sit with each other, those who visit each other, those who spend and exert themselves for each other, I've made my love incumbent for them. Those who follow the Messenger. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad, if indeed you love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you and forgive your sins, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. This is our religion, brothers and sisters. So we pray that this gathering of mutahabbina, mutajarisina, mutazawirina, that this mutabadilina, someone spent money for this tent. This tent just didn't pop up. No, Bismillah. They spent mutabadilina, they spent for us. People came here, they spent their money for the majlis. A significant amount of money. Not an insignificant. $91,000 is not insignificant. It's a testimony though to those who want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they spend for each other. This is who we are. This is who we are. We have always been historically. And this is what we have to hang on to. And this is a legacy we have to pass on to our children. We have to pass this on to our children. عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ حُبَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Teach your children the love of the Messenger of Allah. Teach your children the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach your children the love of this ummah. Teach your children to spend. You know, put a dollar in your child's hand and have them put it in the collection box. Get them in the habit of spending. Tell them, take a little out of your bank. We call it a sheepy bank. So we halalified the children's bank. And then, you know, slip. They take a dollar, you slip $5 in. Say, look what happened when you spend feasibility, your money grows. Go check out your sheepy bank. Check out. I mean, it could be a piggy bank. I mean, you're not going to eat it after all. Go check out your piggy bank. And there's increase. And wow. So they become accustomed. They've become accustomed. A witness right here. This is my man, Tariq Subhani. We know each other from back on the East Coast. He lost his job. And لا نزكي على الله أحدا. We don't praise anyone before Allah. But He was a person that supports these events. Lost his job. What did I tell you? I said, keep spending. Just spend less. Don't stop just because you have some money coming from somewhere. Unemployment, workman's comp, whatever. Keep spending, and Allah will spend on you. This is what Allah... أنفقوا يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك. أنفق يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك. Spend, child of Adam, I will spend on you. And in conclusion, let me just remind myself, remind all of you. Any wealth we have is not our wealth, it's Allah's wealth. It's Allah's wealth. And Allah says, وَأَتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give them from the wealth of Allah that He's given you. مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ. From the wealth of Allah. This is not our wealth. This is Allah's wealth. This is Allah's wealth. We're not free agents. Some of you might be in the NBA and you're a free agent. But even if you're in the NBA and you're a free agent, or the NFL or whatever, you're not a free agent. We're not a free agent. We are servants of Allah. We're Allah's servants. And we should understand this. That's why, by definition, Allah cannot behave oppressively with us. Allah incumbates upon Himself certain things He won't do concerning us. But by definition, Allah can't oppress us. Why? Because oppression is misappropriating the rights or property of others. What do we say when someone passes? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah, and unto Him we are returning. Lillahi ma akhadha wa ma a'ta. Unto Allah belongs what He takes and what He gives. So we belong to Allah. He can do with us whatever He pleases. We don't belong to ourselves, so that if Allah Ta'ala did something we might deem to be unjust, we belong to Allah. And that being the case, Allah can do whatever He chooses with us. But He's decreed good for us, and He wants good for us. And He's ordained mercy for Himself. And He's opened the gates to those, to that mercy, and the gates to that love. And one of the great openings is our mutual love for each other, and our mutual mercy for each other. Because those are the things that lead to the love of Allah. Wajabat mahabbati. My love is incumbent for those who sit with each other and visit each other and spend on each other. So may Allah bless us to be amongst those people, and to understand there's a great, great reward for those who do that. Sab'atun yadhilluhumullah fi dhillin, yawma la dhilla illa dhillu. There's seven types of people Allah will shade in the shade of His throne on a day there will be no shade except that shade. Imamun adil, a just leader. Rashab nash'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal, a young person who grows up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like these young people running around here with these white stickers. I saw them lined up at the head of the driveway when we pulled up. I thought they were the valet service. But it's the messless people. Those young people who are dedicating themselves to serving this ummah, and who are looking for a place where they can feel comfortable and belong, they have a great reward. Why? Because they have the energy to be doing a lot of mischief, and they don't have the spiritual maturity to recognize that it's mischief. We mature physically and we mature spiritually. But despite that, when a young person can dedicate themselves to worshiping Allah and serving Allah's deen and serving the people of Allah, they get this great reward. So they said, "Tawbatu min al-Shaykh Hassan wa min al-Shab Hassan." That an old person who repents is good. You know, the buzzard has one foot in the grave, doesn't have the energy to gallivant and run around like he used to. Oh, it's good, it's good. He has a few years left, mashallah, worship Allah. وَمِنْ الشَّابِ أَحْسَنْ. But it's better from a young person, because that person still has the energy for mischief. That person has this spiritual immaturity to make valid excuses. But when that person repents, despite that, now they have decades to serve this ummah. They have decades to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so may Allah reward all these young people, and the young people in here, and the not so young, and the young at heart. May Allah reward everybody. Bless this effort, bless this initiative, and inshallah we'll come together in good, and paths of good, and events that involve good, and service, and upliftment for this ummah. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.